welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of This is CX, our customer experience podcast at West Monroe Partners. I'm Mike Manfredo.
And this is Paul Hagen.
Hey, Paul. Great to talk with you today.
Likewise. Always happy, Mike.
All right. Well, we wanted to dive into, we have a topic today that revisits a topic we talked about last year, and the idea of business agility and customer experience. You recently did some research around this, and so I wanted to ask you some questions about the research, what you found. But before we do that, I thought we might talk a little bit about kind of CX in the news. And I found this really interesting story out there about Snapchat and a recent drop in its stock price based on one customer's response to its new user interface out on the social media. So the power of the customer, power of social media. So Kylie Jenner, who apparently is a very big Snapchat user, has a really large following, recently made a post out on Twitter essentially saying that she's not using the platform anymore. And within, you know, several days, there was quite a stock tumble. If you look at Snapchat, the valuation. and so, you know, whether or not direct correlation between that, I think it highlighted some of the power that customers are having now in terms of how performances or how organizations perform. Reading more about this, Snapchat kind of responded with, well, we're trying to expand our user base. The new user interface is trying to make it more user-friendly for all of our customers. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, well, who is your customer? And are you trying to be all things to all people? And now that's creating confusion. So, Paul, I know we've talked a lot about that, whether it's on the podcast or elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what an interesting thing, right? It's, you know, the power that, you know, customer is king, or in this case, queen. You know, there's some customers who, you know, with that kind of large following, you know, have an opinion. And I mean, every company is scared of exactly moments like this where, you know, customers rise up and revolt. This customer just happens to have a little bit more of a following, have more of a dent.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think you're absolutely right. First is, you know thy customer, because you don't have to be, you know, so much of customer experience is not about being all things to all people, but knowing who your target customer is and designing experiences for that customer. And I think the slippery slope for any company is trying to be all things to everyone. And so that would actually raise a little bit of a red flag to me, you know, in response of, you know, as opposed to a response of, this is who we try to serve and why we try to serve them and what we're trying to enable for them, you know, feels like a little bit more of a clear response. I would say the second thing is, you know, I'm guessing they've got some sort of user research that goes on. But boy, if this is not a, you know, a message to any company of, you know, go out and prototype and test things beforehand, get customers involved. If you've got these super users, maybe you're putting it in front of them first so that, you know, they're trying some stuff out and you're getting their feedback first if you can. That is a capability that we like to help companies build within companies. Most companies don't have that kind of capability to do that kind of user testing and prototyping, getting that beta feedback first. So,
absolutely.
But, you know, message for the for anyone running a customer experience effort is build the capability. Great story, though.
Yeah, and you know, I think it just speaks to the that like you said, being able to really understand, and you may be trying to enhance the overall user experience, but if you leave your existing customers, unless you're strategically choosing to leave them in trying to then focus on a new set of customers, being able to bring them into the process early and often, I feel, is ultimately puts you at more of an advantage.
Absolutely.
Which I think kind of dovetails into the research that you did around business agility and CX. So this past year, you had this idea and working around business agility and the potential advantage it can provide organizations. But you decided to kind of take on a little research project. So I wanted to, I had some questions for you. I thought it'd be a great opportunity to talk to you, what you learned, who you partnered with, and just learn a little bit more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this notion of agility has been around, or adaptability within company has been around for a while. You know, I think with the emergence or the reemergence or the increased emphasis on digital, that notion of adaptability or business agility gets even more pronounced, because, you know, overnight you can get, you know, you get things like Snapchat, you know, with 50 million users, and then the next day, you know, something happens. So people, you know, there's hyper rapid adoption, hyper rapid opportunities, and then hyper rapid people leaving places. So, you know, and I think companies are all trying to make their companies move faster, respond quicker to customers, those types of things. Even do research. We talk about doing customer research. How do you bring research in so it doesn't slow a process down, but actually speeds it up and gets you to, you know, success faster? So we were interested in saying, hey, what's going on with companies' efforts around, you know, increasing their business agility, and what's the role of customer experience leaders in that? So that's what we really, you know, we're aiming to find out. And we teamed up with the Customer Experience Professionals Association, CXPA. Professional association that's helping try to professionalize and train up and certify customer experience professionals in the practice of intentionally designing and managing customer experiences. So we surveyed those folks and you know, we're really trying to understand what their role is and could be in helping their businesses create more agility.
Excellent. I thought, you know, in terms of the premise of, you know, this idea of adapt or fail, and this statistic you found, I thought was amazing, that if you look at Fortune 500 companies listed in 1955, only 12% were still around by 2016, and that it really was at an accelerated pace once we entered into a digital era, of over 50% of those disappearing since 2000. So I think goes to highlight that we've accelerated the pace at which things have changed, everyone can feel it, right? That it has significantly accelerated in the last two decades to where businesses are failing, and they're failing at a much faster rate if they don't get this right.
Well, and that was, you know, my original title on this was Adapt or Die. I was talked off the edge, and it was Adapt or Fail. But, you know, I mean, that statistic really said it. And I think there's an existential, you know, existential concern in a lot of business leaders that we've got to do this right. We've got to be, you know, we've got to be faster on our feet and adapt to what, you know, is changing from a technology perspective, but, you know, also our customers' behaviors and our employees' behaviors. And expectations. And if we don't adapt, we're not going to be in business. And boy, those stats just spoke volumes to that for sure.
Absolutely. All right. So just real quick, for those who, we're going to get into some of the details of the research, but just real quick, if you go out to the West Monroe Partners website, this research is available there. So if they want to see a little bit more of the detail beyond what we just talked about. But after doing this research, Paul, what were some of the key findings that you found?
Well, so we found that, you know, for unsurprisingly, a majority of the people we surveyed at their company, business agility is a top priority. And they see a lot of benefits. They see better customer experience, which is, you know, important to them. They see faster go to market, you know, being able to adapt to the market quicker. They see, you know, increased innovation, all of those kinds of things. So they're focused on it. But, you know, we found an incredibly low level of maturity. It was probably over 70%. I think it was 78% of companies, you know, are in the lower tiers of their maturity across a number of different areas, from strategy to culture to, you know, governance around it. You know, some of the big challenges when we asked them about it, culture came up as number one. Just, you know, changing that culture and having people see things in a different way. Inflexibility of their systems was the number two challenge they faced. You know, and I've been talking with a lot of folks. We did an event last night, and one of the topics came up of you know, we're trying all of this great stuff, but we're, you know, just running into a combination of inflexible systems. But when you poked around it, it was also a mindset in the IT organization around what could be changed or how it could be changed or how it would affect people's jobs. So I think there was a real, there's an interesting interplay between where, how systems work today and processes and the culture. And then the third on the list was leadership alignment. You know, there still seems to be a lack of you know, alignment from the leadership and what creating business agility and how that works. So the fourth one was organizational design, and it feels like that there's a little bit of that. You know, organizations aren't designed to be more agile, and the silos they've got, and that creates some of this, I think, leadership misalignment. So, you know, what we found is, you know, despite the fact that it's really important and lots of benefits, you know, there's certainly a lot of challenges, but we ultimately ended up finding out really no one's in charge of this. It's all over the map within organizations. And, you know, we felt like there wasn't really someone who in the organization was taking this, owning it, driving it forward across the organization. So your ship has really no one leading it. So no, it's important, but, you know, it feels like we're still early stages for a lot of companies.
Yeah. So, and that's where you say you think CX leaders can actually help lead the shift and be out in front to lead the shift to a more agile type of approach for businesses and capability. So what are the reasons why you think CX really can play a big part of this, if not lead it for these organizations?
Yeah, we came to three reasons. First was that customer professionals are close to customers. So when you're thinking about you're adapting, well, adapting to what? Ultimately, you ought to be adapting to what customers want from you and or expect from you and how you deliver value to them. And there's no one closer in the organization to customers than CX leaders. You know, they're listening, they're setting up the programs to do the research and gather the insights, look at behaviors, not just what customers say, but what customers do. So they're the closest to the customers. I would say, secondly, a lot of the tools of the trade are agile in nature. So, you know, the notion of prototyping and testing, the notion of you know, doing innovation sprints, right? You know, there's so many of the tools that customer experience professionals use that are borrowed from you know, from design thinking, from lean startup, you know, from agile itself. You know, this just, you know, the tools of the trade are there to actually design things, succeed quickly with less risk, pivot faster and those types of things. And then I think, you know, the third reason is that CX leaders typically have a much broader view than anyone else in the organization. They're not in digital. Per se. Digital is part of the customer experience, but, you know, they're also thinking about the contact center, and they're also thinking about the in-person interactions, and they're also thinking about the impact of back office on customer experience and so forth. So there's a big picture view that I think where you get a lot of agile type of efforts tend to be in the software side or the digital side, but that's not the whole picture of what's going on. So I think customer experience leaders are just in a beautiful place with that broad view, with the tools and their proximity to customers that just make them kind of perfect for leading the charge.
Excellent. So yeah, you mentioned, especially around some of the tools of the trade or what we typically think of as capabilities within a CX function, there's a lot of similarities or that would align to a more agile approach. Are there, you know, there seem to be some additional specific capabilities that you think make CX leaders really primed to be able to increase agility within the organization? What are some of those capabilities that you specifically called out?
Well, so first and foremost is just increasing the velocity of customer insights. So, you know, the tools of the customer experience trade have gone through the roof. You know, when I was, you know, starting the customer experience side 10 years ago and, you know, the UX side before there, you know, it's just night and day in terms of tools that are available. So, you know, at the most basic level, some of the just core voice of the customer or enterprise feedback listening tools from, you know, anyone from Medallia to Qualtrics, Clarabridge, Merit CX, Confirmit, you know, these tools are enterprise class. They allow you to collect customer feedback in any channel, anywhere, and really be able to report it out real time to people who can make a difference. You know, that's huge. You know, in the past, you did once a year kinds of studies of customers. And by the time you compiled it and sent it through a select group of people, you know, none of those insights were actionable. Today, you know, not only with those, but then text mining, you know, you get text mining capabilities, you can, you know, that give you sentiment, but you can send that kind of data out to the people on the front lines, you know, who can take action immediately, you know, or within a store type environment or, you know, your field services. So it's just a huge number of capabilities there that, you know, can increase the ability to act and react. And again, something this stuff doesn't have to be a technology. It may be a way of a person's interacting. It could be a process change. You know, again, that big picture comes in handy. A second capability that I'm seeing arise is really a journey-based governance model. So, you know, companies are making decisions every day about what to do, where to spend resources, and how to hold people accountable. Well, in the customer experience world, we've moved, you know, the more sophisticated companies have moved from looking just at individual touch points to really trying to understand what a customer journey, what job are they trying to get done? And then how do I help bring a set of processes together to help that customer get their job done? And the customer goes through a journey along that way. Well, in setting up, you know, when looking at the world through that lens and then starting to break down organizational silos to help customer go through that journey across the various different touch points, you start getting, you know, areas where there are gaps, where there are places that we can actually double down and really create alignment and differentiation. You know, one of the things we saw, 41% of the survey respondents said the lack of alignment was, you know, one of the key challenges. Well, the journey-based governance model suddenly gives you alignment around what is really important for the customers. And, you know, companies like USAA, Barclaycard, ING, Lloyds Bank are all using this approach, you know, as a lens for guiding and directing teams to really help help customers. And, you know, at the highest level state, we see companies actually putting in project management offices almost, or innovation management offices that are all aligned around this customer, you know, this customer journey governance model. A couple other capabilities, you know, around creating a North Star. At the end of the day, if you're going to align people across a number of places, you know, any good customer experience team is creating the notion of a North Star. What are we trying to what's the end state that we're trying to do? Building purpose, you know, or a higher level inspiration for employees and partners. I think technology architecture is important, and we think that's probably one of the weak spots for customer experience leaders. But really, teaming up with the IT folks to create, you know, a high performance architecture that, you know, includes modern ways of thinking about that technology, DevOps, microservices. You know, an event-based architecture. So, and then finally, you know, culture. You know, I mentioned culture is one of the top challenges. You know, more and more we're seeing customer experience leaders not just thinking about the customer experience, but thinking about the employee experience and engaging employees, using the same customer experience design tools like personas and journey maps and life cycles on employees. Employees have a life cycle. Employees are different personas. Employees go through journeys. And so really taking that and applying human-centered design, you know, across, you know, those processes for employees. So kind of five capabilities of, again, things that most customer experience, you know, even moderate customer experience teams are already doing that, you know, deal with some of the challenges that, you know, companies are having around, you know, creating more agile environments, you know, really play themselves nicely out here.
Yeah. So that was actually one of my follow-up questions for you is, you know, these capabilities certainly seem to indicate an organization that is, you know, a little bit higher on the maturity curve when it comes to customer experience. But what about for organizations that, you know, they see customer experience as something they want to invest in and they've started down the track, but aren't necessarily as established from maturity, or they're fighting some uphill battles as well. Do you see taking the reins on this, you know, the idea of agility, knowing that it can be for many organizations a pretty high priority, where it will actually help accelerate the success of CX within an organization? Or is it now I'm actually trying to juggle two major shifts versus, you know, one?
Well, I think, yeah, I just think they go hand in hand. So I don't think of them as necessarily being two different kinds of things. But I would say to any customer experience person, you know, your ability to turn insights into action is going to be, you know, you're going to be successful or not successful based on your ability to, you know, take insights, drive them to action, and drive measurable results for the company, you know, for your customer, and then, you know, for the company. So, you know, any the first step on any customer experience program has to be starting to listen to customers, understand what your customers, you know what they perceive of you. You know, where their big pain points are, where the opportunities are to serve them better. That's just, you know, it's foundational stuff, but it can't stop there. And I see a lot of customer experience programs that, you know, maybe fail right there. We did a lot of insights, you know, we got pretty journey maps, but we haven't been able to influence any activity that measurably improves the customer experience and measurably improves financial benefits for the company. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's all going to die there. And, you know, whether that's agile or whether that's, you know, a business, you know, an agile transformation, or if that's a customer experience transformation. But I would say, hey, if you're going down this route, start working on it, you know, that culture and those pilots, you know, that are trying to experiment, you know, get something out in front of customers sooner rather than later, you know, and that those are shifts. And so I love the idea of pilots, right? Pilots are exactly there to experiment, you know. And a customer experience leader years ago talking, you know, that's everything she did was a pilot. So, she, you know, because she was building couldn't call it experiments, but you could call it pilot. So, but I think any leader getting going can think about how do we speed up the velocity of getting those insights to the decision makers and influence their behaviors. And, you know, that's just core of what some of these tools and systems allow you to do today as a customer experience leader.
Awesome.
Even if you're just getting started.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think the mantra of kind of start to fail faster in order to succeed faster. Mm-hmm. This really speaks to it, but it doesn't mean you have to do it at such a large scale to begin with. I think finding small areas it's a muscle for a lot of these folks, right?
Yep.
And let's start small. Let's find areas where either it lends itself to working in a more agile fashion within the business, or where we think we can make that shift relatively quickly. To even if it's in small amounts, it at least gives us a rep, right? And now we have two reps and then three reps, and you keep building and building and building. And then all of a sudden, if you have a number of, even if they're smaller, success stories, people like to be on winning teams. People like to associate them with success. And so if you can show that, even if it's through these smaller pilots or smaller opportunities, people really start to see the value of that. And start to get on board.
Quick wins are super powerful.
Yeah. And I just think sometimes, you know, organizations, they're not quite sure where to start. So whether maybe it's smaller experience fixes, if it's a technology thing, if it's even on the internal side, employee experience, if you can show that there's value in adjusting to, or, you know, being able to make changes on a quicker scale on the employee experience, that'll show, you know, direct impact to, oh, made my life better. Why don't we do it for the customers, right? They can kind of see then the impact there. So that may be another place to start.
Deborah Meyerson wrote an article, Revolution the Quiet Way, years ago, and she talked about variable term opportunism. Which I thought was when you get into it, it's a mouthful, but it is really powerful. Is, you know, what are the quick wins today that get me and scaffold me to the bigger initiatives I need to, you know, and convincing and credibility that I need to get to some other time. So, you know, I would say you start with quick wins, you go to the bigger initiatives where there's more money. And always being careful, you know, that's why the North Star, you know, things like the North Star are so important, because I have seen companies just get in the, start building the muscle memory around quick wins, and all of a sudden wake up one day and say, we've been doing a ton of activity, but to what end, to what purpose? And so at some point early on, you got to establish that North Star and say, okay, here's where we're trying to get to. Are we aligning our quick wins, or have we done all of the quick wins we got? We've really got to, you know, get, you know, a bigger kind of chunk to get us closer to that North Star.
Yeah.
But hopefully you've built up some credibility and momentum and that muscle memory, you know, to then do those bigger kinds of projects.
Excellent. Well, we're going to leave it there for today. Like I mentioned, for our listeners, if you want to read more details around the research, please go out to the West Monroe Partners website. You should be able to find it there. And Paul, appreciate you walking us through the research here and your findings. And great job. I think this is really, really interesting.
Thanks so much. Pleasure as always.
All right. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.